more? James chapter 4. Verse 7. Does anybody need to borrow a Bible? Lift your hand up. The ushers will let you borrow one, especially an adult. Fellas, are you watching? I saw somebody raise a hand somewhere. Up here, I think. You don't have any Bibles? Give them all away. All right, they got one there, it looks like. James chapter 4, James chapter 4, verse 7. Man, look at those shoes. You guys got a club going on or what? Man, they got bright blue shoes. Almost match. He's got more white on him, though. Man. The shoe club. All right. If you got that, just stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says this, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 7 will be our text verse this morning. Notice this statement: submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're going to talk about that first statement of that verse: submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Let's pray. And then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, you bless, Father God, this time now, this morning. Bless the folks that have come, and I pray that you'd work through this Word of God now and through me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest secrets of the Christian life is this one word that's found here, and it's the word submit. Submit. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The word submit means to completely trust. To completely trust. It means to completely yield. It means to cast oneself completely upon. Why should we trust? Why should we submit ourselves to God? Well, let's see. He's our what? Heavenly Father. Right? That'd be a good reason, wouldn't it? He's our Heavenly Father. Do you think you can trust your Heavenly Father? Should be able to. Should be able to trust your Heavenly Father. Definitely so. So he's your Heavenly Father. That's one reason. Why should we submit ourselves to God? Well, let's see. How about he's our God? Not a small g, a large g, amen. He's our God, amen. We can trust our God. Why should we submit ourselves to God this morning? He's our friend. He's our friend, amen. You can trust your friend, amen. And we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, amen. None other than Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, he's our friend. Our Lord says, submit yourself. He says, just yield to me. He says, I'll take care of you if you will submit yourself to me. It's like a patient who submits himself to surgery. It's like a passenger who rides an airplane and submits himself to the pilot. He'll know how to fly the airplane. He submits himself to the pilot. Do we need to move you further? Do I need to break up this little crowd further? There's a lot of talking going on down there. For visitors, you're very bold. We've got to learn to submit ourselves to God. We've got to learn to submit ourselves to God, and that's the truth of the matter. Completely submit yourself, completely yield yourself, completely give yourself. The word submit, folks, is actually a military word. That's what the word submit is. It's actually a military word, and what it means is to rank under Or in other words, to put yourself under, to rank under, or to put yourself under, or to put yourself underneath an authority so much that you know, guess what you do? You completely obey the authority. That's why it says submit yourself. Hey, submit yourself therefore to who? To God, right? To God, that's exactly right. Submit yourself therefore to God. And so that means that you're going to say to him, you're my God, I'll do whatever, amen, I'll do whatever you do. Hey, it's a military word, folks. To rank under, amen. What does it mean? It means submit yourself. He says, you know, double time, up two, three, four, all that business. And what we're supposed to do is follow the orders that he gives us. That's what God wants. Amen. He wants us to follow the orders that he gives us. He wants us to submit ourselves to him. I mean, you go in the military and the sergeant barks, what are you going to do? You're going to move or you're going to be sorry? One or the other. You're going to move, you're going to be sorry. It's whatever the command is what you got to do. Well, that's what God wants. Amen. The simple truth, we ought to come to God and we ought to say, God, you're my commanding officer, and I'm willing to do whatever it is you're commanding me to do. Just do whatever he says. Whatever he says to do, we'll do. Whatever he says to follow, we'll follow. Submit means that God, you're my God. I'll do whatever you say. I'll do what you want to do. You're my Heavenly Father. You're my friend. I'm going to trust you completely to be underneath you and to rank underneath you and to be able to obey underneath you. That's what I'm going to do. Young people, if mother says wash the dishes, guess what you ought to do? Wash the dishes. Wash the dishes. And that's what God wants you to say, amen. By submitting to your authority, you are submitting to God. I remember several years back, quite a few years back now, knocking on a door one time. I don't remember who was with me. One of you fellas was a partner of mine. We was outdoor knocking, inviting people to church. And I remember knocking on a door, and a kid answered the door. And I always usually say when a kid answers the door, is your mom or dad home? He said, yeah. Just a minute. He said, hey, blankety blank, somebody wants you at the door. I mean, this kid's probably like 12 or 13. And pretty soon a father emerged. He said he was the father anyway, and emerged to the door. He was very friendly. He talked to me. I talked to him about being saved. He didn't know he was going to heaven. I presented to him the gospel about Jesus Christ saving his soul. And the whole while we did that, this boy and his, I guess his sister was there with him, probably about not too far from his age, sat there in the background and mocked and called the fella and me names and just laughed and mocked at the whole thing. Told him, I said, he was about in the middle of it. I said, hey, I said, you let your kids talk to you that way? Because I guarantee you, kids don't talk to me that way, especially not my own. I said, you let your kids talk to you that way? He said, I'll just never mind them. He said, we'll just ignore them. And, boy, I tell you what, that wasn't the way I was raised, bless God. If I would act like that, somebody would be grabbing me by the throat, bless God. When I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to act that way in my home, and I certainly wouldn't have talked to my father that way. And ain't none of my kids even dreamed of trying to talk to me that way. But that's the way this kid was talking to the dad, calling him names and addressing him as, I couldn't even say, it's a filthy word, but when he called him to the door and everything else, and I don't know if he was just a stepfather or something like that, he looked like he could have been the real father, but I tell you what, it was unbelievable. But folks, somebody should have been putting that kid in his place a long time ago. Amen. If he's put in his place the proper way when he was young, guess what? By the time he was that age, he wouldn't be acting that way. And I'll never forget, some years ago also, my wife and I had a relative come by the house, and they had a child, and I'll tell you that I didn't know these relatives very well. It was on my wife's side of the family. I had a little child that was in the household there, and it was grabbing everything you could get their hands on. I mean, I'll tell you what, and my wife knows because she's doing about the same thing, biting her tongue in half. I said, it's about all I could do to keep from grabbing that stinking kid. And they're like, oh, please don't do that. And please don't do that. That's my stuff they're busting up, for crying out loud. You know, get this stinking kid out of my house if you ain't going to control him. And say, oh, you're so mean, you're so hard. No, I just believe kids ought to be obedient to adults. That's what I believe. Amen. And I, you know, if I wasn't even a Christian, I'd believe that way. You know why? Because I was raised that way. Because the adults in my household were in charge when I was growing up, and you just simply didn't act that way when you were dealing with other adults, and you were respectful of them. Otherwise, you were in trouble. But it's all a matter, folks, of submitting. Obviously, that boy in the story I told a moment ago, calling his father names, was lacking discipline. That was obvious. He lacks discipline. The only problem with that is, it doesn't just stop right there. It carries out to outside them doors. I don't mean our church house, but outside their house doors, out there. Because if he treats his dad that way at his house, how does he talk to everybody else? How does he talk to the teachers at school? How does he talk to the principal? How does he talk to the policeman out on the street? How does he talk to some other adult who just happens, who ain't nothing to him, that just happens to be going by? And children ought to be respectful to any adult. How does he talk and treat those people? See what it all stems back to? Submission. See what it all stems back to? A lack of discipline. That's the day and age in the society we live in, folks. It's a day and age of doing whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and not submitting themselves to the authorities that be, and using all kinds of excuses to do it. They'll say things like they didn't get enough milk and cookies when they were young. They weren't treated just quite right. Their parent wasn't everything they should have been. They'll say all kinds of things just like that. All kinds of things just like that to excuse away that kind of behavior, and to excuse away that kind of behavior. So it's important to realize that God does not want that. That's the trouble in our society today, folks. This rebellion is caused all kinds of chaos, and they're always blaming the somebody else. But the truth of the matter is, the fault stems starting with the moms and dads for not exercising discipline upon a child properly in the way that God would want them to do. Because when you start when they're a little bitty child, when they're 2, 3, 4 years old, guess what? It's a whole lot easier to correct a child that age than when they're like this. The problem is, we let the little things go, and then when they're like this, all of a sudden now we see it as a problem. Why? Because they're doing big things now, and they're causing big problems now, and then we say, oh, we got a problem on our hands. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not saying it's a hopeless cause if they're that age, but you best be starting parents when they're young, because that's going to be the best time to start dealing with those problems now. And if they don't do that when they're young, you're going to have a very, very difficult time getting them to submit to that. Now, when they get older, they transfer that to outside of the home also, and I've already mentioned that. So, listen, that people that won't submit themselves to God, don't submit themselves in society, they don't submit themselves to obey God's laws, they won't submit themselves to obey laws out in society either, and whenever that happens, there's going to be nothing but a problem. I mean, a problem. Now, the 1950s, probably in the 60s, the devil placed in the minds of young people this idea of being rebellious, probably as much as ever before. And don't get me wrong, they were rebellious before that time too. There's always been rebellion in the world, but a great revolution in society took place, of rebellion, where morals went down the tubes, and all of a sudden it was the day and age of smoking dope and doing whatever you wanted to do, and living however you wanted to live. And it all stems, though, folks, from an unwillingness to submit to authority. That's what it all stems to. Unwillingness to submit to authority. Well, I don't have to do what so-and-so says. Sorry, didn't mean to wake you up. I don't have to do what so-and-so says, even though they're over me. But what you're really saying is, I don't have to do what God says, but we never want to say it that way. Exactly. We never want to say it that way. I don't want to do what God says. We don't say it like that. Oh, no, we always do what God says. Sure you do. But you don't follow weight. You don't follow in place the authorities that God puts in place in your life over you. Then what you're not submitting yourself to is God. There you go. That's the way it is, folks. And that's why it's important to remember those things. Now, let's go to this word submission. We said it's a military word. We said there's three things about it: to rank under, to obey readily, and to give all. And so when the Bible says there in verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, it says to rank under God. When the Bible says submit yourselves therefore to God, it means to obey readily God. When the Bible says submit yourselves therefore to God, it means to give all to God. And what I want to do this morning is take a quick look at these things. But think about this before I get started on those three things. Look at verse 8. If you still got your Bibles open, notice as you draw nigh to God, He will what? Draw nigh to you. As you draw nigh to God, the best way that you're going to start drawing nigh to God is by submission. Amen. You can't draw nigh to God if you won't submit yourself to Him. If you don't submit yourself to God, you're not going to draw nigh to God. Here's the problem. As we take a step towards God, He's always going to take a step towards us. And we take a step towards Him, He's always going to take a step towards us. But the problem is, when we won't submit ourselves to Him, we're not drawing nigh to Him. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to start backpedaling and we're going to start getting farther away from God. And that's what's going to happen, is we're going to be hurt then by going farther away from God like that. Now, let me give you three things about this. Number one, to rank under. To rank under. Now, when it says to rank under, it's talking about being humble, not being proud. Pride can be one of our biggest enemies. Young people, it can be a big enemy for you to have pride. Old people, it can be a big enemy for you too. It can be a big enemy for anybody. Here's what we'll say. I'm not proud. In fact, let me tell you something. I'm humble. In fact, so humble that I am proud of my humility. Oh, they're so humble, they're proud of their humility. Yeah, everybody knows it too. They can tell. Hey, the Apostle Paul said in writing this, amen, he said these people in Rome, he says, if you're saved by grace, when he wrote to them in the book of Romans, he said, if you're saved by grace, then what are you so proud of? Why are you boasting then, if you're saved by grace? Wherein is your boasting? Here's interesting about the statement like that, though. It's an interesting word because he said boasting is excluded. So what's the meaning? Word excluded mean, preacher? It means like shut out. It's shut out. It's excluded. It's shut out. And so boasting knocks at the door and we say, you can't come in. Why? Because they're supposed to be shut out. No boasting. Shut it out. Boasting's knocking at the door. You can't come in. Why not? Because you're boasting. We got to shut out. Got to keep you out. That's why it's supposed to work, amen. It's supposed to be shut out. It's supposed to be excluded. But boasting says, wait a minute, I want to come in though. Keep on knocking. Wait a minute. Keep the door shut. Keep it latched. Keep boasting out. We don't want boasting to get in. Get out of here. You can't come in. Why? Because boasting ought to be shut out. Or be kept out of your room, amen. No boasting. A person who realizes the goodness of God and the blessings of God and the wonderful grace of God has nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about, nothing. You don't have anything without God. I don't have anything without God. There's nothing for me to boast or to brag about because it's all on Him. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that shed His blood. He's the one that has done what needed to be done. So therefore, I have no reason to boast about anything to do with this. It's not me. If I have anybody to brag on, it'd be Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing about me to brag about. No boasting here. Pride causes us not to want to rank under God, though, folks. Why? We think too much of ourselves. Yeah. It's always, look what I've done. over here. Look what I've done over there. We think too much of ourselves. It's always what I've done. Look at me. Look what I've accomplished. Look at what I've been able to perform. Look at, wait a minute. It ought to be always look at what God's done. Anything that ever happens that's good, it ought to be look at what God's done. God has done this. God has done that. God has, whatever the area may be, God has done. Always look at what God has done. A successful person in business will start to say, look at all that I have made, and I am really becoming something in this business world of a person. But wait a minute, a successful person in business who went to church, read their Bible, prayed every day, asked God to bless their business and affairs, they can say, look at God, look at all that God has done, look at all that God has blessed in my business. So what's the difference? The difference is the key is God was given the credit for their success. Nobody can be successful truly without God allowing it to happen. God should be getting the credit, especially from us believers, for what he's done. God is the one, folks. By the way, a person like that doesn't mind ranking themselves under God. Submission to God doesn't bother them. He'll attend church faithfully. He'll serve in a ministry. He'll give tithes and offerings. So why does he want to do all that? Because he knows where his bread is buttered. He wants to submit himself to God. He wants to submit himself to the way that he knows God wants to be. He wants to be humble, folks. Humility. Let me give you number two this morning. To obey readily. To obey readily. That's the second thing about this thing of submission. Whatever the Lord says, we ought to do. Amen. When I figured out in 2002, 2001, 2002, what God wanted me to do, and I figured out he wanted me to come here and start a church, I did that underneath the direction of my preacher and with his direction, by the way. I didn't make any moves outside of him and try to work around him and do my own thing like so many people do in churches today. Instead, I followed his direction, but I knew it was what God wanted me to do, and we were in agreement therewith. I didn't hesitate to obey. I know what he wanted me to do. Guess what I did? I went, and I did it. Amen. Following his direction. Gave up the security of a good job, a good income, to come here with no security as far as income levels and responsibilities that I would have for finances, but did it the way that my preacher directed me to and the way I knew God wanted me to, and guess what? I was not concerned about the details. I was just obeying God, and with the guidance of him and my preacher and my church and so forth, I was able to stay here now for almost 11 years, and so it comes by this. Submitting yourself, therefore, to God. If I do it my own way, then what am I not doing? I'm not submitting to God. And so, well, wait a minute now. You could still just go and start a church, and you're just obeying God. Well, wait a minute now. If I leave my preacher out of the equation, I'm not doing it God's way. I'm not submitting myself to him either. Because now what I'm doing is I'm working my way around the authority that God has given me to place over me spiritually at that time. Amen. Now, he's not over me now because I'm not a member of his church. But as long as I was a member of his church, any spiritual plans I had for ministry plans needed to go through him because he was the preacher. He was the man of God. Amen. Check out your Bibles. That's how it always works. Amen. And usually anybody who tries to do it differently is never successful. They always fail in the end. Why? Because they don't rank under. They don't readily obey. They're not submitting. They're not following the chain of authority. Military has what? A lot of chain of authority, doesn't it? Does it just go to the top? No. Hey, the private in the military, does he call the general up and get the direct orders from him and say, well, listen, I'm going to do exactly what the general tells me to do. He's telling me. No. The general never directs that private directly. You know why? Because he's working through the chain of authority. Amen. I know you don't like it, but it's true. Amen. He works through it. He works through the preacher when it comes to spiritual matters. He works through your parents, kids, in your home. Amen. That's a chain of authority. Amen. That's how it works. The general don't call directly up to the private and say, this is what I want you to do. Got a little mission for you. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you, sergeant, but that's all right. He won't worry about it when you're missing from the barracks. I mean, he won't wonder where you're at or anything. We just won't even tell him. It's just a special mission from the general to the private. Never works that way. Never works that way, ever. Folks, it's always a chain of authority. It's always a chain of command, and that's the way the process always works. So to readily obey, that's what submit means, amen. Forward march means you're submitting. It's a military command, amen. It means to rank yourself under, means to obey readily. Let me give you a third meaning this morning. That's this. To give all. To give all. What does all mean? It means every whit. So what's a whit? Well, in the Bible, it's the smallest particle of an object. So you give all, that means you give every whit. Give it all. Amen. And to give all. Amen. Once in a while, it's interesting. Sometimes when you baptize people, every once in a while you get somebody who gets, I don't know if they're nervous or what, but they get to where they say they want to be baptized. And then what do? They start grabbing on the side and stuff like that, and you're trying to baptize them. And it never works very well. Then you get other people, they just kind of, what are they doing? They're trusting me, but they're submitting. Why are they submitting? Because they trust that I'm not going to drown them. That's why. Somebody else is concerned because they want to get baptized and they know it's the right thing to do after they've been saved. Amen. And it is. But for some reason, they're maybe have fear of water. That's the case sometimes. And that can happen. Or something else. But they've just got this fear and all of a sudden, or they're stiff as a board. And I mean, you know, it's just amazing. And I'll never forget that. Oh, years and years ago, Brother Paul Lewis, you were with me, and wherever he's at. That fellow, remember that guy, we led him to Christ right out front here, and he wanted to get baptized right away, so we baptized him, and it was cold outside. And we told him that water wasn't heated, but he wanted to get baptized. He said he'd do it, so remember we brought him in here and baptized him. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've never seen nothing like that in my life. That guy come up looking like a popsicle, and well, tattered and everything. And we always take a picture when we baptize if they want us to. So my wife took the picture. That's one of the best pictures we ever got. And man, that guy was like chattering. And he was like freezing. I said, well, I told you it wasn't heated. You know, I said, that was like on a Tuesday morning or something. I said, we weren't expecting to baptize anybody, so we didn't have the water heated. But the truth of the matter is, folks, to give all. It has nothing to do with the sermon, don't worry. It's just I just thought I'd throw it in there. The memories. Now, to give all, amen. Now, when they quit fighting, when it comes like that baptism illustration, okay, once they quit fighting, it's easy to baptize them, amen. And here's the thing. So, boy, I'm so unhappy all the time. You know the best way for you to get happy? Is submit. Here's the thing. My bad heart. So you talk about that all year, all the time. Yep. That relationship between your heart and God's, and your relationship with Him, and the level of relationship you have, can't be right till you submit to Him. And you submit to the authorities He places over you. Can't be right. You want to get happy because you're so miserable? Submit. Submit. Submit to God. You submit yourself, therefore, to God, and you'll get happy quick. You fight against authorities, you'll always be unhappy. You'll always be unhappy. You'll always be unhappy. Christian fights against a kid at the Christian school, fights against a authority somewhere. They'll always be unhappy. A kid at a regular school, for that matter, don't have to be a Christian school, I guess, fights against authority. There'll always be problems. There'll always be strife. There'll always be difficulties. There'll always be something tough about it. So why have I always got so much strife in my life? Usually because we're not submitting ourselves. Amen. To the authorities that be. I mean, you got to expect when you don't submit. I said, boy, that preacher down there, he's always on my case about something. Well, when you're not submitting, what do you expect? It'll always be that way when there's an authority, folks. You don't submit in your home to your parents, kid, and you say, well, that parent's always on my case. Well, if you don't submit to the authority, what do you expect? What would you expect? For the parent to lay down and say, oh, yeah, you're right, you're 15, you're supposed to be in charge. Let me get out of the way. That's not going to happen. No. Why is there conflict? Because there's a power struggle going on. That's why. Amen. I know it's tough, but it's in the Bible. Rip it out and you'll have an NIV. But the truth of the matter is it's there. Amen. Submit yourselves therefore to God, to rank under, to obey readily, to give all. That is what the word submit means. So when you quit fighting, you'll have peace. Just like that smart aleck kid, I gave an illustration. Amen. He needed somebody a long time ago to get a hold of him, and he'll have a lot of rough going in his life down the road with an attitude like that unless he changes it. He will definitely. He'll probably end up in jail or prison one day because he's going to be nothing but rebellious everywhere he goes. Now, why do people die and go to hell? Because they don't submit. So what do you mean? I thought it wasn't a work salvation. It's not. But what do? They don't submit to God's plan of salvation. What is God's plan of salvation? We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. If we try to save ourselves by our own good works, our own good deeds, or by our church attendance, or something like that, can we do it? No. And really what is it? It's a failure of us to submit ourselves to God's plan of salvation, which is simply accept Jesus Christ and what he's done as our Savior. That's the key. They're fighting. They're fighting the wrong thing, and it'll cost them a lot because they'll die and go to hell because they have not Christ. It's an issue of submission in every area. Let's stand to our feet.